Hello, Without Less podcast. I am Frank, and I'm joined by my mom, Shirley.
Hi there.
Today, we're talking Survivor Season 44, Episode 8, Don't Get Cocky, Kid. This, we were just talking about, is a very simple episode.
Yeah, it is. Not much twists or, you know, advantages or things like that. So, yeah, it went pretty fast.
A lot of that can be chalked up to the challenge is a pretty heavy challenge.
Yeah.
We've seen this challenge in the past. They've tweaked it a little bit, but it's generally one we've seen before.
Yeah.
It's the one that Noelle did excellent at,
or
was
infamous for. She did great because, you know, she was stuck in the net, of course, but she ended up doing really awesome in it. So, yeah.
Carolyn and Carson, I think they even had the same spot in line that she had, but also got stuck in the net real bad.
Yeah.
And then Tribal seemed to be pretty straightforward. We had a little bit of trickery in it, but I mean, it was short discussion, in my opinion. It wasn't much to discuss.
It really was. It really was.
Yeah. And in the end of the day, we lost Franny.
Brandon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have her marked down as getting more votes. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Brandon.
Brandon. Yeah.
Voted out because of the big move on Danny's part, saving Franny.
And but that's odd because Brandon, even though they're not technically in the same group, they've always been very strong friends, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like they had been. And it kind of surprises me that now Brandon and Kane seem to be pretty tight because at one point Brandon wanted Kane out because Kane had put a vote against him in the very beginning.
Right.
So yeah, it was kind of surprising.
Yeah. But that's where we're at right now. So we start off with Jim. When he returned back from Tribal, he's thanking everyone for not voting for him and going with Matt instead.
He's lucky.
He is very lucky. Franny, meanwhile, is completely distraught over Matt's departure. She says that Matt felt like home to her, so she was finding a lot of comfort and him being around. You could tell, like, back when he's at jury, he's, you know, rooting for big time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those two need to, I mean, Franny's got to pay attention to that and being like, I don't know, somehow give him the signal to stop looking so joyful when something good happens to me, because it's a guaranteed jury vote.
Yeah.
So it puts a huge target on her back.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure it does.
If I were anybody else, I'd be like, she's got to go next, because that way we don't have to worry about those two.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Right.
Brandon and Kane are very happy with the move, and they feel like they're now in control with the numbers. This is the part where they're getting a little cocky, and I think that Kane isn't used to being on top like that so much. He kind of feels like he's the geek in charge a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Revenge of the Nerd style. So you got to be worrisome of that. There it is.
Yeah.
And Heidi tries to defend her move against Jim because Jim survived. So now it's like, oh, shoot.
Yeah. She thought, you know, putting one of Lauren's votes on him was going to get him out.
Mm-hmm.
But I was afraid because Heidi's my girl. So I was afraid that might backfire on her. So I don't know. She's kind of on thin ice.
All three of our favorites were very vocal this episode.
Yeah.
And we're at the point now where everybody's going to get a little more vocal. But it's like, hey, calm down, guys. I liked when you were under the radar a little more. Meanwhile, the Purple Alliance, or what they're calling now the Tika 3, are now in the middle and have all the power. So Jim, Carolyn, and Carson.
Right.
They can go either way, and they're the swing vote. The next morning, speaking of Carson, he wakes up sick and he's throwing up. He's blaming the PB&Js.
Poor thing.
Yeah. You could tell it's just draining him. He looks, you know, thin and shivering, and he's in bad shape.
Yeah.
They do get tree mail, and they're told to divide into two pairs. I think they get tree mail often. I just think it's that we don't see it very often.
Yeah.
I think they get it pretty regularly, you know, giving updates on how the game's going.
Right.
By the way, shout out on this. There is a clip that's out on TikTok, and I'm sure you guys can find it. I don't watch Big Brother, and I know you don't either.
No.
But apparently, they did a Canadian Big Brother right when the pandemic was starting.
Uh-huh.
And so it's really interesting slice of time. It's really worth watching when they would update the contestants every day on how the pandemic's going.
Wow.
It takes you right back to March 2020 when we didn't know what was going on. And they were being informed by this like almost godlike voice that was kind of telling them from like contestants, today you have to do this, you know, in a Canadian voice. And it was something else when like each day, you know, she was saying 100,000 people infected or whatever it was.
Right.
And for these people who were stuck in a room without any information from the outside world.
Wow.
And hearing that the world's falling apart around them.
I'm surprised they didn't just stop it so they could be with their family.
They stop it after like 7 days or something like that. But you get the updates from each day of how fast. Because you remember that. Remember there's like 2 weeks where it escalated beyond imagining.
Yeah.
And it's a real, I saw it on TikTok. I'm sure it's out there on YouTube, and it's just something else.
Wow.
It was really
I'm
something
gonna
else.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
I bet that's good.
It's the Canadian Big Brother. Check that out, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So they're going to divide up into pairs. We have Carolyn who's stepping up to volunteer with Carson. You were calling out that's a good idea.
That was really cool.
Yeah. I think it was a cool move, but you were also mentioning that if it happens to be a puzzle thing, he's got it in the bag.
Right. So even though he's sick, he's got a lot of skills. So, you know, I'm sure she thought of that too.
Yeah.
But just her stepping up, you know.
It was immediate.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really cool.
And then we have Lauren and Danny teaming up, which Danny wants to get Lauren out. So that's an odd couple.
Yeah, that really is.
Franny and Jam Jam. We have Brandon and Kane, which that's no surprise there. And then Heidi and Jamie, which they seem like a pretty good duo as well.
Yeah.
And then from there, we head off into challenge.
Yeah. So we go into challenge. We've already got our teams. There's no reward in this one. It's just immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And like Frank was saying, we've seen this one before where they crawl one at a time through a net. It's a twisted net, which Nicole had such a hard time with. And so do these guys. Was it Noel?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I keep saying Nicole. I think I said that last time. Noel. Mm-hmm. So they go through this net, dig up planks, and then go back to their mats. Then we lose people. The first four pairs that make it to the mat move on. Then they climb up a cargo net, have planks they have to walk across a bridge. First two pair to the mat, move on.
Yeah.
Then it's the final stage, and it's immunity, individual immunity. They use their arms to brace themselves against the two walls while putting their feet on a narrow perch foothold.
Yeah.
And if they drop, they're out.
And the foothold gets smaller and smaller as they go down, which the last couple looks so painful.
Oh, my God. That last one looked like maybe a quarter inch at the most.
Yeah.
Maybe less.
I mean, even if you're to just go directly to that one. And I was wondering, like, at first I didn't catch the fact that they're going smaller. But I was wondering, like, why are you guys just jumping up to the top one right away and not walking your way up it? And that's when I realized later on, I was like, oh my goodness. Now that thing gets smaller and smaller. So that last one's almost no support at all.
Right, right. It's hecka painful. Yeah. And I wonder, like, you know, your lighter people, would it be easier for them? I mean, it's less weight to have to hold up.
I thought that with Lauren towards the end, I thought maybe she would do good. And then also I noticed that Jeff said, all right, let's set up the last part. So I think they bring in maybe they'll mention it in the podcast. But I thought, oh, okay, they have to bring in to make sure that it's like the right heights for everybody, make sure it's as fair as possible. You know how they've talked about that in the past? So you'll notice on endurance challenges, all the endurances are a different height because it has to be as equal as possible to everybody. Yeah. So I thought maybe they had to stop in between. Because at first I was like, oh my God, you guys got to be so exhausted after doing everything else to get through the net and stuff like that. Then do that. But I think they probably had a bit of a break while they were set up that last phase to be proper height and whatever.
Depending on who went forward. Yeah.
I would assume so. I think
so. Would a height be different in that challenge, do you think?
I think the width is different.
Yeah, the width would be.
Because if you look at Brandon, I can't spot it, but if you look at Brandon, like, he's way bigger in frame-wise. They say Lauren.
Right.
They have to be a different width. They have to be.
Yeah.
So I bet there's something there that they adjusted.
They're so particular about all that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, as we're learning now, with like the knots and everything.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I have a feeling that they stopped the game for a bit, which makes sense. I'd rather them be equal.
Yeah.
And let them rest for a second.
Right. Know? And that's not something they could do ahead of time, of course, because they've got all different sizes out there.
Yeah.
Good catch. I bet you're right.
You know, that's what I do.
Actually, they didn't mention on fire, though.
Okay.
So that's interesting. Okay, so as we get going, of course, we've got Danny through the net first. He's awesome when it comes to these challenges.
He is, yeah.
Then Jam Jam, Kane, Franny. They're all going pretty good, except for Jamie and Carolyn are stuck in the net.
Carolyn, I felt so bad for her. She's just like screaming in pain, what it seems like.
Screaming, and what I really like is Carson is just like, you're okay, just do that. He was the only one talking his person through.
I wonder if it's claustrophobia. Cause I was thinking like that would be terrible if you're claustrophobic to have a net that's surrounding you on both sides. Cause it's pinching as you're releasing one side, it's pinching the other side.
Yeah.
So you're in there.
And if you're just twisting, but not bringing that net with you.
Yeah. Then you're doing nothing.
You're doing nothing.
Yeah.
I think Jeff makes that comment, you know?
Oh, okay.
So anyway, Jamie finally gets through. Carolyn's still screaming, but then she finally gets out after struggling for quite some time.
Yeah.
Jeff's like, that's a survivor right there. And, you know, and I just think it's neat because she did really struggle, but she didn't just stop.
Yeah. They at that point, they already lost even before she's out.
Right. So then, Carson goes through, everybody goes and helps Carson out because at that point the challenge is over. So
yeah, they were flipping the net for him. Plus he was, they already know he was sick. So I'm sure there was a little bit of like, come on, let's help the guy out. Yeah. He's already not going to be on the right side of this.
So when we get to stage two, Kane and Brandon are at the mat first. Then we have Danny and Lauren second at the mat. So they're moving on. Final stage at the individual immunity, where they're, you know, standing on the narrow foothold, using their arms to hold them up. So as they move down, it gets more narrow, like we said. Kane is really struggling. He drops.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got Brandon drop. So we've got Danny and Lauren there. And then Danny ends up dropping. And so Lauren wins. And she's like super excited.
Yeah.
And I just love it. She says, my kids are going to be so proud of me. This was something on my bucket list.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know? Yeah.
Do you think Lauren would be voted out if she didn't make it?
I do think she has a chance of being voted out. I don't think she's in a strong alliance really with anybody. I mean, I know she thinks she's with Danny and them, but I don't know. What do
Danny
you think?
Danny wanted her to be voted out. I wonder if Danny would have taken the chances to go after Brandon if she hadn't won that alliance.
Possibly. Yeah.
So, yeah, but good job on her. She did a really good job. And well, that net part of that challenge is where it's all at. That was really hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back at camp, many debate between Franny or Jam Jam. Franny is the chosen target, and everyone seems to be on board. Heidi and Danny discuss taking charge of the game. They feel like this is the moment they could turn on this bigger alliance, led by Brandon and Kana, from what it looks like. Danny says he can use his idol to blindside them. The idea is put the idol on Franny. All the votes go to Franny, and they bounce right off.
Right.
They approach Jam Jam and Carolyn. Jam Jam tells Carson, and he is a bit concerned that they will make an enemy out of the others. So, he, you know, the key to his Tika 3 is that they don't really pay attention to them as an alliance. They just say, like, they're the remnants of the Tika tribe.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really want to make any move that identifies them as this voting block that can be used.
Right.
They'll become targets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the hard part about this discussion is Heidi ends up telling them about Danny's idol.
Yeah.
And so right away, boom, that's out there. Danny finds out about this and right away is like, was it Heidi? I don't think that's going to hurt his relationship with Heidi. I think it's more just disappointment. What do you think?
Yeah, because they were tight. So I don't know. It might damage it some.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure he didn't think she was going to share that.
Yeah. And he's so specifically worried about Jam Jam. And Jam Jam is considering turning on this new flip the vote move and going with the big tribe to mess things up.
Right.
To kind of secure himself.
And it was very surprising that Jam Jam didn't go right over to Brandon because he seems to have done that. He has done that so many times. And even in my Facebook group, I mean, that was a, you know, something that several people brought up.
Yeah. And it's what Danny was afraid of too. He knew that could easily happen. So he knows that by doing this move, first off, he's going to be vulnerable for this vote and he's going to expose his tribe, his alliance, for the next coming votes.
Right.
So it's all up in the air now. And then we go right to tribal. And my part of this podcast is very easy.
Okay. So as we go into tribal, of course, we've got Matt on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
Super happy to see Franny. We saw that. And so Jeff's just talking about, you know, how is it different now that you have a jury? Okay. Kane's saying it brings another layer to the game. They just all kind of chime in on what they think is different. Heidi says everybody's vulnerable. And Carolyn says everything yesterday means nothing today. So, you know, it's a huge game changer once you get a jury.
Yes.
Now that we're going to have Brandon on the jury too, it gets more and more interesting.
Cause you can't just be a jerk. You have to make sure that that person's a possible future vote. So it has to be extremely strategic or they were somebody on your team that got let go accidentally.
Right.
And you can't let them find out about that either. Cause every person you send afterwards is going to tell them updates on the game.
Yeah. So, like, you know, you have Brandon out, and so what is he going to feel of Danny, which made him go out, but it was a good gameplay.
Yeah, but so, he and Danny seemed like they were close for a lot of times.
Yeah.
There, so you're kind of wondering, well, okay, were you guys friends? Then he just turned on you.
Right.
That's up for debate.
So he may have lost a vote there, but gained one on Matt by far, you know.
Yes, true.
Saving
He just
Franny.
Locked down the Matt vote, and he locked down the Franny vote, too, once he gets her out of there. Yeah.
So, so Heidi just talks about how her anxiety's at a 10. Jamie agrees. And Brandon's just saying, you know, it's scary not knowing who your target is.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many changes now that, you know, things can change quickly. You have to think about your majority vote is what Lauren's chiming in at. And Danny just saying you don't want to be on the wrong side of that majority vote. You may be in it and you may not be when the time comes. Kane just talks about how he always votes with an intention. Maybe it's to build trust or a flashy move, but every move, he has some sort of intention.
Is I would like to think that most of the tribe members do that.
I would think so. I mean, why wouldn't you?
There's the one guy that did it alphabetically.
You've got, so I mean, you go in with a gameplay of what's going to happen with the vote and where you're going to be standing after that.
If you made it to merge, you already think that way. I would assume so.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. And, you know, Franny and Heidi just talking about, you know, if the arrow is going to be on you or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at this point, it could be anybody.
Right, right.
So at that point, we go to vote. Danny plays his idol for Franny.
And at that point, we're like, oh, shoot, what are you doing? Play it for yourself just to play it safe.
I hope he's not going to regret that.
It's a big gamble for a big resume, Mark. And so.
Yeah, you know. Absolutely a resume builder for sure. But dang, I hope he doesn't need it for himself.
I know. Yeah, he's vulnerable now.
And you know,
he's vulnerable, but he's the kind of player, much like Russell, which, by the way, if I remember correctly, just got voted out of an Australian Survivor like this week, too. Did I tell you about that?
No, I want to see Australian. When are we going to get it televised for that again?
I just saw a tweet about it from Jesse from last.
Really? Oh, I love him Jesse.
Talking smack me like, oh, the world rejoiced when Russell got voted out of both American Survivor and Australian Survivor. So I'm not sure if that just happened.
Figure out how to watch that.
I don't know. If one of you guys know how, can you let us know? We want to watch it.
Because we had it on Paramount Plus and they took it off.
Yeah, licensing got messed up. I'll find a way.
Oh, I got to see that. I really enjoyed the season that I saw.
I guess I don't know if he was a jerk or whatever, but the fact that Jesse's talking smack, and I trust Jesse.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay. Is Russell being Russell?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we get voting, we have 6 votes on Franny, which doesn't count thanks to Danny.
Dang, we're stacking up.
And 3 votes on Brandon.
Who are the 3 votes again?
We have Danny, Heidi. I think there was going to be a 4th. Danny, Heidi, Carolyn, and Franny.
Yeah.
Is who it showed at the end voted for Brandon.
Those 4 are outskirt. You know, we've seen Jim just fall apart. Jim is not... He should have voted with Carolyn.
Right.
But and it was in the amount of times that Carolyn has went to bat for him is sickening at this point. Carson, you know, hey, I think you should have gone over there too. But hey, I'm glad that this move worked out. Boy, what a resume move. And he just locked down Matt's vote and Franny's vote too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If Franny doesn't get to the end, blah, blah, blah.
And really, you know, when it gets to the end, you got to have that resume ready.
Yes.
Because this is something that I think he would even turn Brandon on his... you know, to vote for him at the end when he just talks about how we're there to win and, you know,
and not
we
just
were good
that.
Friends, but we're here to win the game. So
the idol in Matt's pocket is his fake one too. Like he has resumes pieces already.
Yeah.
So he
that's true. Yeah. Know. That was a good one too.
Well, I'm sorry. It wasn't in his pocket. Literally it was in the bag at camp.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, but it was the fake one that, you know, Danny made, so.
I think he's going to win this one.
Oh, I hope so.
So, again, going over the favorites, Danny did quite well. I think Carson, I'm happy he survived this week. I was worried when I saw, of course, they do the previews for next week, yada, yada, yada. You're thinking, oh, man, he's throwing up so much, they might call medical or something like that. Luckily, it looks like it was a bug, or not even a bug, just too much PB&J for somebody who's been eating like 200, 300 calories per day.
Yeah. Well, something that they mentioned On Fire with Jeff Probst, the podcast, is it could just be the fact that he ate that PB&J and your stomach can't handle it.
Yeah.
They see that often. People eat after not eating for days and it just doesn't agree with them and they can't do anything about it unless you're ready for them to call medical.
Yeah.
They're standing there recording, doing everything while you're just throwing up and, you know, having a hard time.
That sucks.
But they said it could be just because he hadn't eaten in so long.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So hopefully, I think he'll be fine. I think he already seemed like he was doing better towards the end. I think it was just getting it out of his system.
Yeah, I think so too.
And how did your favorite do?
Heidi's being more vocal. So it's kind of scary. Might be putting a target on her. And so I'm not sure. I'm hoping she's still with Danny. I don't know if Danny will get upset that she told people about his idol.
She's one of the few that voted with him in this. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like, ah, damn it. You know, that kind of thing. Like, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
They're both good players though. And I think it was just a mistake on her part. I think she understood that immediately.
Yeah. I think so too.
Next week we see, I already talked about mine, Danny and Carson surviving his throwing up phase. But, next week, we see that Danny is now definitely the target.
Yes.
Expected. You made the move. Now you have to survive it. And if he can take control and save and survive this week, I don't see what's going to stop him.
Yeah.
And I, you know what, honestly, I mean, what I like about him, like I mentioned Russell because of exactly this, is we already see he's looking for that idol again.
Yeah.
That's the player that I want out there. That's the player I want to win, because so many times, we saw it with the Purple Tribe the whole time, you guys know there's an idol out there. What are you doing sitting around camp?
Don't stop until
you see somebody with it in their bags.
Absolutely. I just feel like this is a whole different Survivor than what we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. In the early years, they were hungrier for sure.
Yeah.
And they played that game hard. I mean, as soon as an idol was played, they were looking for it.
Yeah, during the idol, because the idols didn't kick in until like...
Not in the very beginning.
Right, I see what you're saying.
As soon as the idols came into play though, I mean, they were looking for them. Now it's like they'll make a fake one instead of looking for it. You're like, really?
Well, I think Russell kind of broke the game a little bit, you know, in a way where it seems like cheating, what he did when he would go out there and just find the idol again.
Yeah.
And he was able, we talked about this with Kyle. We'll mention Kyle here in a moment. We mentioned this though, where it's like, he would just go back out to where it's like, yeah, there's a tree and a fork. And obviously you need something to identify on the note. It has to be like, oh, it's by the tree with the fork. So he would just go to where all the identifiable spots were.
Yeah.
Find the idol.
Yeah.
He was breaking. I bet Jeff was pulling his hair out during that season. And after that season though, people were much more active on it. And it feels like this season, there's a couple people doing it, but not as many as you did. All of Purple Tribe just did not care.
Just a couple. They didn't at all.
So shout out to Kyle again. I want to make sure to mention that. Kyle, who's been on the podcast before, he drove from Utah over to here to Sacramento to go to a video game convention that we were at. Luckily had a booth at and stuff like that. Anyways, so we got to chat with him for a little bit about Survivor.
It was so great to meet him.
Yeah.
That was so awesome. Super nice guy. Just, maybe one of these times we can have him back on our podcast.
Yeah. And he was sharing some of the, when you're going to be like a castaway. Sharing some of the info on that. And it's, oh boy, it's intense.
Yeah.
So, I want to try to not actually get in myself, but go and see one of the events. One of these would be nice.
I hope he tries again.
I think so. I think he should.
Yeah.
Wear a GoPro. Let's record this.
That'd be so cool.
Oh, God. If he got on the show.
Kyle, thank you so much for coming all that way. It was awesome to meet you.
Like the beam, Kyle. I know you're watching.
Ooh, that game's tonight.
I noticed. Okay. How did Facebook go?
Okay. So for Facebook, like I was saying, people were surprised that Jam Jam didn't go tell Brandon, about... them planning on voting for him, because he's done that so many times in the past. They liked the blind side on Brandon. They liked that the move that Danny made for Franny, but some were afraid that he won't have it to play on himself. And another thing that I want to say before I get into my on fire with Jeff Probst is we lost a past survivor.
Yes, good call.
So condolences to the family of Keith Nail. He's a two-time survivor, passed away at only 62 of cancer. Yeah. I remember him well.
What a legend.
He was so funny and just, he was a great guy.
The infamous, I have a baseball cap that reminds me of him. It's the one that purposely has the scratches on it or whatever.
Yeah.
He always wore that baseball cap. Yeah. Shout out to Keith and his family.
Yeah.
They're part of the family. So.
Yeah, absolutely. On fire with Jeff Probst. So I, listen to that. The beginning, they just talk about the episode, basically saying a lot of the things we already were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Sad to see Franny alone, that kind of thing, Carson getting sick. And that's where they mentioned that, they can't help him until they actually need medical.
Yeah.
And then pretty much that's it. They also talked about
Danny's. It was a pretty light episode for them too.
Danny's idol. Yeah. And just talking about what a good resume he's building.
Yeah.
And then when they get to the portion, this one's about editing, which was really cool. They talk about how they are recording 24 hours a day, every day.
Yes. I love that.
4,500 total hours of footage.
Yeah.
Per season. 15 hours of Survivor, which equals 300 hours of footage for 1 hour of television.
Please remember that when you're like, oh, they find the idol right away. No, they didn't. It might have taken them 100 hours to do it.
Yeah.
They just happened to show you in 10 minutes what they can,
Absolutely.
That's so important.
Yeah. They don't manufacture the story. They made sure to say that. Yeah. And so 20 editors. Okay.
God,
they
have
different editors for the challenge, the tribal, the finishing, the next time. So the people for the next, you know, they want to move on. An online editor, the ones that do the online piece.
That's basically what I do for us.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So after it's done, it gets a post-production team organizes it all. And then it goes on to the editors. And they just have to make the decision on what part of the story is the most representative to that particular moment in this episode and in the overall season. So if you think about it, it's kind of cool that like they watch the whole thing. They know who wins, right?
Of course.
And then in the very beginning, episode one, they're like, how do we want to play this?
Yeah.
They have to do it like what really happened. I mean, they're playing shots.
Yeah, they only have the shots.
But they can move it around like they want us to see it. You know?
And we've talked about there's that whole editor Reddit group that pays attention to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they obviously have to, they're not making up the story, but they have to tell the stories that are available. And there's a ton of them that are available.
Yeah.
You could focus this entire season on Franny and Matt.
Right.
If you wanted to just make it a whole love story.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are showing a lot of that. Maybe Franny does it. Does True. Well. So there's got to be these stories that they're building.
Yeah.
Like you and I are talking a lot about how Danny's doing this awesome gameplay. That's what I mean when I'm saying I think he's going to win this thing. Not because I think he's going to outwin it. I'm saying because, like, they're making him look badass, you know?
Yeah.
And so you would assume that he's going to have this victorious moment at the end or get blindsided in a really cool way.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to happen.
It's really cool when you think about like how much footage they have.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 people going through that. That's crazy, you know, but it's kind of cool because knowing that end result, of course, makes a huge difference throughout the whole show. So I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool.
I would pay extra for a Truman Show version of this though.
Oh my God.
Or we could just get the single camera, like maybe on the entire beach and just watch them eating breakfast or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, let me just tune in, see how things are going.
That would be so cool. So they had one of their producers, Dave Armstrong, give an example of how they would change things. So they gave three different scenarios of like Carolyn taking the idol out of the birdcage and just showing how she would still take the idol, but depending on how they did it would make you feel different.
Yes.
So like the music is a huge part of
it. Oh,
hell
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
If they're going to make the audience feel happy or scared or anxious, you know. Like when she's running back to put it back. So first she's at camp after already taking it, thinking, crap, I didn't leave it, you know, the bag there. So, you know, that's a huge thing on how they do it.
Yeah.
And they just talk about how they have 12,000 different music cues. If they were to do tribal, one of the questions was, how long would tribal be without editing? They said it'd be about an hour if there was no sudden changes or, you know, how like a lot of times there's something going on.
Yeah.
Typically it's around an hour and then they cut it down to 10 minutes pretty much. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. It was really good. Let's see. The next one is about controversial twists.
Okay. That'd be interesting.
So yeah. Cause some people like their twists. I like them so far.
Well, I think they got to talk about the most controversial one, and that's where they divided the tribes up and by race.
Yeah.
I remember when that was announced and I thought, oh, this is going to be an interesting experiment.
Yeah.
I was a younger man and probably a little more foolish too. But I told that to another Survivor fan, a friend of mine, who she was in her 50s or whatever at the time. And she's like, oh, that is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite understand at the time, but she clarified the fact that like, you can't, you know, like the optics of it cannot go well no matter what you do.
Right.
And it's just like, oh man, I didn't even think about that. I just thought it was like, this will be a good, interesting thing.
Yeah.
But if you go like one layer deeper, you realize like, no, that looks all bad.
Yeah.
And we know from the season that there's a lot of people who weren't happy with how that season went or happy with the season at all. So
Yeah.
And then looking back at the musical cues, you know, I went to school for some of this audio design stuff recently, and that is day one that visuals are for information and audio is for emotion.
It's huge. 12,000 just Survivor musical cues.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, they make their own. So
if you think
cool.
about Carolyn running back and if they put like kind of a goofier music underneath there, you think, oh, she's going to mess this up somehow.
Yeah.
But if they put like a high, fast paced moment, you're like, oh, this is an exciting moment with her.
Yeah.
The more obvious show to catch us all on is Amazing Race.
True.
Amazing Race does this sound. I can't say it here, but you'll know it when you watch Amazing Race, or you guys probably already know it because you watch Survivor as well. But as a sound you recognize, you're like, oh, somebody messed up.
Yeah.
They do that like ding or whatever weird sound it is. And you know that somebody messed up.
Yeah.
So sometimes I've rewound back like, wait, what just happened? Oh, okay. They didn't realize they have to keep their backpacks with them.
Right.
That
kind of thing. Oh, but, God, I hate when that happens.
Amazing Race, I think, does an even better job than them on, or at least a more obvious job.
Yeah.
On the emotion stuff. It's fun.
Yeah. The editing was really cool. This podcast, I really enjoy. Yeah. So I totally recommend it to everybody. I'm pretty sure most people that are listening to us do listen to that.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying it. I'm glad they started that up.
I know Kyle says he's listening to it as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, guys, thank you very much for hanging out with us this week, and we'll see you guys next week. It's getting so close. It's amazing how fast these seasons go. Crazy. But yeah, we'll see you on the next one.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us on the Outlast Podcast. You can find us through Twitter on Outlast Podcast 1. Hope to see you there.